We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you listening and hanging out with us live here at Hooters Mall of Georgia location. As we get into the 5 o'clock hour, we'll recap some of the things we saw today, some of the players we spoke to, including our conversation with Michael Penix coming up here in less than 10 minutes. So stay tuned for that. Day one was about injury update. It was who's here. Braylon Trice is ready. Okay, he is available, and Mike working his way back. We talked about Troy Anderson, who's starting on the PUP list, which is a little bit of a surprise. But as far as Kyle Pitts, he was 100%. He looked it today, and he was ready to go. Also, we didn't bring up Morgan Fox, Mike, who we didn't see at OTAs or mandatory minicamp. He was there today. DeMarco Helms is available. So this is where the Falcons are, fairly healthy heading into camp as guys continue to work their way back. But the Troy Anderson thing is interesting, which we'll talk about in a minute here. But as we spoke to and saw a variety of players today, Caleb McGarry asked about protecting the blind side, and Raheem Moore said, look, it's not the blind side anymore. You're in shotgun a lot. You're moving the pocket. You got to think about this in a different way. Traditionally, he's not dropping back every time, and Caleb McGarry is responsible for protecting Michael Penix's blind side. James Pierce Jr. spoke to the media today. Mike mentioned his ability, it feels like he's getting more comfortable with the media.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier, and we talked off the air, and there was a media scrum with James Pierce Jr., and I talked about all the things that his teammate Bryson Easton had to say, kind of got a smile on his face, and his time at Tennessee about what a dog he was and a leader and the kind of way he approached practice. And we talked about this earlier. He really did bring some heat. You brought this up in practice, basically calling out, I think it was Storm Norton.
Yep.
You know,
for
saying, hey, man, if we're going to go, let's do this. Let's work. So he was bringing some serious, you know, practice and work ethic to practice, which was great to see because, as we said, the things that were said about him, I think we can now describe as were erroneous. Somehow, somewhere, something got traction about him not having a work ethic or not being a good teammate. Nothing of that from what we've seen, especially, you know, from minicamp to today. The guy's here to work. He's here to become the best player he can be.
Jalen Walker also speaking to the media today, and he said, look, I'm here to put in the work. I'm not here to predict what I'm going to be or tell you guys how many sacks I'm going to get. I just, you know, and the plan, by the way, for Jalen Walker is to start at edge, and they're going to want him to master that, and then they're going to move him around, all right? We continue to say, oh, could he be on Micah Parsons? He can, but they want him to learn this first and then really good at that. And then also Jesse Bates, Mike, the savvy vet, speaking to the media today as well, and Jesse just speaking high praise of Michael Penix and all the things that he's seen leading up to the start of camp. As far as Michael Penix, he looked good today.
Yeah, man. There was a couple of throws where, you know, he was behind on the deep ball where we saw some, I think it was one where Darnell Mooney or was it Ray McCloud went up to try to make that play.
Mooney.
But, yeah, I mean, the timing, it always seems like the advantage goes to the defense early in the week. We mentioned it last hour, if you missed it. The guys were asking, what'd you think, what'd you like? And I got to be honest, Bijan, we could basically say that every practice we watch. You said it earlier, how good Bijan looks, making the cuts, making guys miss. Now, again, this isn't, you know, full contact, but they are in helmets. And there was some effort today. So some serious effort from some of the guys on defense, like Zach Harrison. That's one of the things that kind of popped for me today was a guy that, you know, I don't know what your expectation level is. What is year three now for him out of the third round? You know, a big body. And you've always said you felt he's better cast being in the defensive tackle role.
Inside, him and Taquan Graham, both of them, I think, can help us down there. When you're talking about a rotation of Onyemata, Rook, and you add those guys to the mix, it adds more size. And, Mike, I think it makes us better. When I just look at these edge guys and the guys on the end, Pierce and Jalen and, you know, we're not even talking about some of the other guys. I mean, we're not even mentioning. It's
and Leonard
funny.
Floyd looks fine, by the way. Oh, Leonard Floyd looks good to go.
He's fine, but we're not even mentioning Arnold Ebiketie over the last few years coming into camp where we'd be like, he's got to have more sacks. That pressure's off Arnold. It is because of the guys now that he's playing with. He doesn't have to have 15 sacks to have a successful season. He's got to be a part of it, but that's what's really changed. But I think that interior looks really good. By the way, everybody, full participation, guys. We didn't have anybody. There are no holdouts. There's none of that stuff going on with the Falcons.
We did have another guy that has come up on, we talk about every year since he got drafted. It was a reach when we drafted him. He does give you teases, gives you tastes of, like that Saints game with the pick six. I'm talking about Troy Anderson.
Pup
list to start the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and now he's looking up at guys on the depth chart. So I said this to you earlier in the show, and this has nothing to do with Terry Fontenot. This was one of his, but Thomas Dimitrov had a bunch. We've had too many second-round misfires on this team.
Well, if he's
I hope that's not going to be the case, but he doesn't look like he's going to be ready to go anytime soon.
If he's unable to perform, I think he's playing for a roster spot. That's just where it's at. When you get better talent, nobody is owed anything. And if you've got guys that are outplaying him and he's unable to perform the way he should, the bottom line is he might be out of a roster spot. So we're going to find out. But, yes.
But didn't you kind of like me, your eyes kind of rolled over when you saw that today?
Yeah, because I think it was unexpected. He had all offseason to deal with this injury, and you felt like, okay, he's probably doing the right things. There's two things that happen, and this is speculation. I don't know this, so I don't want you to run with it.
Right.
Either this injury is more than what they told us, Mike, and he's not gotten right from it, or the fact is that he didn't do the rehab he needed to do the way he needed to do it to get right. And I don't know which one it is, but we've had months of him having the time and availability to work with everybody he needs to get right. And now camp starts, and you're telling me he's starting on the pup list?
Yeah.
It's just a little suspicious, but maybe he comes off the pup list, Mike, but he's going to have to earn his keep.
But again, as you said, Troy Anderson's looking up at other players now. Now, all of a sudden, there's guys that might be better at that job than you. And don't forget, we brought Divine Diablo in, probably as an insurance policy.
Diablo.
Divine Diablo. By the way, couldn't you see that, though? Right now at Magic City, Divine Diablo on the main stage. Sorry, back up. Cam Newton Jr.'s kid just heard that. Don't mind. Magic City, it's a place where people have tickle fights. Don't listen to us. But you're getting back.
He's like, my dad took me already. My dad and I were there 2 weeks ago.
Oh, is your father, does he work for the Players Association? But anyway, but getting back to the things at practice, we mentioned Kyle Pitts, and it was funny. The first thing that we hear, we spoke with, you'll hear the Michael Penix Jr. conversation next segment, but when he started the big media scrum, first thing he says is, hey, man, we got the ball in KP's hands. So it sounds like Kyle Pitts, for all the things we've said about him, you've said about him, pro and con, he has an advocate in Michael Penix Jr. But then bring in the flip side. When Kyle Pitts does the media scrum himself, where we're in front of all the mics, he's asked the first question, what was the nature of that foot injury that kept you out of minicamp?
And he didn't answer it. And it's almost as if he is not going to give anybody an edge on what the injury was or what he was dealing with. Part of this
is... What is this, a military secret? You had a foot injury, you got over. You had treatment.
I get it. But if Mike, here's the problem. If he tells you, not just you, just us generally speaking, then as soon as something happens, guess what's going to happen? You're going to immediately go, oh, it's the foot. It's the ankle. He's not going to give us an opportunity to let us know what exactly the injury was because he doesn't want a way out. He's trying to earn, speaking about earning his keep, he wants to say, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm going to play. And if anything starts to go bad, it doesn't give him an excuse to say, well, it must be that injury he's been dealing with for, I don't know, the last six months.
Well, I mean, he comes in loose. We talked about, showing up at camp loosey-goosey, and he was definitely loose in front of the mic. I mean, he's much more comfortable than he's ever been.
I agree.
So maybe, as I said to you yesterday's show, maybe it's like, blanket, let it all hang out. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging. I'm going to be loose and have some confidence. But I did get a chuckle. Well, you and I both looked at each other. We're like, second, the follow-up question from somebody from, I think it was Channel 2, asked about the foot. He goes, hey man, I don't talk to the trainers. I'm like, well, it's your body, dude. I mean, I understand your explanation of it, but still, it's just, there are no excuses. But one thing for certain, the players have heard this talk. Certainly that offensive side of the football has heard about the Kyle Pitts stuff because Penix Jr. was backing him up all day today, if he can execute and get the job done.
This is where I think, and I don't even know if it's a miscalculation. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, hanging out at Hooters Mall of Georgia. Guys, you'll hear our interview with Michael Penix coming up here in less than about 5 minutes from now. The thing about Pitts, what I sense now, Mike, is he's having fun. I don't think he had fun the last couple of seasons. One, you go back 2 seasons ago, he was hurt.
Right.
And all you heard was what he could be, but he couldn't do it because he was injured. You come into last year, he's supposed to be better because he's got a better quarterback in Kirk Cousins.
Right.
But it really doesn't pan out that way. And then, he's hearing all of this criticism. And what I believe has happened, could be completely wrong about this, but I doubt it, is that Michael Penix Jr. has instilled confidence in him in a way that makes him feel like I'm comfortable and I got a guy that wants to see me succeed and is going to get me the ball. And you know what? I'm having fun. He showed up when they got together. And you'll hear Michael Penix talk about them talking about the receiving group and Penix throwing the ball around to his guys and they got together. I'm not saying that Kyle Pitts hasn't participated in that stuff before, but I feel like that's what we're talking about here. If a kid has fun, Mike, he's going to be a beast. But I don't think that's been the case the last few years. It's been all this pressure
right
on his back.
And that's why I said yesterday, maybe he's just coming in with this sort of when I say loosey-goosey, that's not a bad thing. But just come in with a degree of, you said, confidence.
It feels that
way. Because, look.
I hope so.
One way or the other, I don't think Kyle Pitts plays another season with
the
Falcons.
You're ready to run him out already, huh?
No, because there's no money. They're not going to have enough money. If he balls out, his agent's going to demand big-time top five tight end money.
Don't say that.
Could reset the position. We got to pay Bijan. We got to pay Drake.
Yeah.
I'm just. We're already 2 years into Penix. So I'm just saying, there's not going to be, just like what the Cowboys and Bengals are going through, we're going to be to a lesser extent in that same boat.
Well, look, I'm not going to go that route yet because, one, it's so far away.
I mean, you could hypothetically franchise tag him, but as you guys know, that's the average of the top five paid position.
Yeah, it's so far away. Look, if it's a fair deal, I would not foresee him not coming back if he performs at a high level. But, look, the NFL, you see the cap going up every year. That's why I don't talk about it. I don't care about it. Everybody that needs to get paid gets paid.
But if you give me two out of 5 years, you ball out, I'm not giving you a $75 million plus contract.
That's different than not paying him. You're saying he hasn't performed for the length of the year time he's been here. That doesn't mean they won't pay him or they won't have it. And that's where I'm going to disagree. I feel like if he performs, let's say he gets 1,000 yards, and I don't know, what's the touchdown number? 8 to 10 touchdowns?
8 to 10 would be a nice round number.
Then that's going to command a certain number. And if it's a fair deal, I don't think the Falcons will frown at it. And I think we also forget, and this is me defending him, as much as I banged on Kyle Pitts, he is a young dude. We drafted him. He was 20 years old. That is rare in the NFL. Michael Penix is 26, guys.
Right. But we drafted this guy again. He was supposed to be a unicorn. He's not. That's not what he is.
But you're saying they're not going to pay him, and I think we're so far away from that. Like, I want to give him a shot. I did it last year. He didn't get it done. Let's see what happens. If he doesn't get it done this year, then that's an easy conversation to say they're not going to pay him. But if he does, I'm not going to sit here and tell guys that they won't have the money to pay him. Anybody that they want to pay, they can pay.
Meanwhile, as we said, the practice wraps up. The first thing you hear from Michael Penix Jr. in front of the large media room is, see, we got KP the ball. Going to be a lot of that, talking about Kyle Pitts. We'll see. But I'm just saying, if I'm a general manager, you give me 2 years out of five, you're not getting a contract from me. Okay. You know, I'll let you go get signed by somebody else, and I'll take a compensatory pick, and we'll get back to work because you were a bust.
We'll see how it plays out. I just find it fascinating. After day one, you're like, he won't be here next year.
I'm saying regardless of what he does, because there's just, I don't know. Yes, the money does go up, but we're going to be paying Drake London north of what Garrett Wilson got.
Okay.
Bijan Robinson, that's going to be a big number because he's a big part of what we do. And the good news is we've got a window now to win while a quarterback's on his rookie deal, and we believe we've got some real impact defenders on their rookie contracts. So that's the big picture. That's how Seattle was able to do what they did. Other teams, there's many teams out there that have a hard time making that all fit. That's why the Cowboys are never in the Super Bowl. That's why, you know, Belichick was able to do his thing. The Chiefs do their thing.
It's valid.
Howie Roseman does it with the Eagles right now. He had to make some hard decisions this offseason to move on some guys, but he had the next group of guys coming up.
Yeah, no, it's valid. And look, that's why every team has a tough time sustaining success.
Right.
You can get there, but it's sustaining success. But I'm going to wait to have that, whether they'll pay him or not. He's got to prove that he deserves to be paid.
And look,
and I don't even think that he's done that yet.
And look, guys, we say this all the time. We're all pulling for this guy. It'll be a great problem to have in this offseason.
It will be.
You know, if we're talking in February, March about how the Falcons approach this, you know, because Kyle Pitts is 1,000-yard, goes back to being a 1,000-yard receiver, has 10 touchdowns, became this red zone weapon where he's a Pro Bowler again, but more importantly, he's winning you football games like the game he won you in Tampa. You know, where he's a difference maker, the big tough catch he made against the Commanders in a game we should have won late in the season. We know, that's why it's so frustrating. We know what he's capable of. Can you do it on a consistent basis?
All right, coming up, you'll hear our interview with Michael Penix Jr. We talked with the quarterback today at day one of training camp, and we try to get into his mindset a little bit about how he feels, where he's at, and talk about his teammates. Stay there. You'll hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell, we get a chance to chop it up and talk with our starting quarterback, Michael Penix. We talking about my quarterback. Michael Penix, first day of camp, man. How different is this compared to last year where you were mentally, physically, preparation-wise? How different does it feel?
I mean, the only difference is I got a different title this year, you know, but I always kept the main thing. You know, the goal is to do whatever I can to help this team win football games, and that's going to continue to stay that. So, still the same mindset. You know, just a different title this year.
You were known as a great leader, man, a captain at Washington. Do you feel more comfortable taking that leadership role this season?
Yeah, man. I've always been comfortable in that role. You know, it don't come overnight. You know, obviously you got to gain that trust from the guys. And, you know, each and every day I continue to try to prove that, make sure the guys know that I'm somebody they can look at as a leader. And, you know, I just got to come out here and be consistent each and every day. And my play is going to speak for itself. So,
Michael Penix joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So a lot of conversation about Kyle Pitts this offseason. Saw that you guys got together, not just Pitts, but your receiving core. Did you orchestrate that? Did you call the guys and say, hey, let's hook up and get together? And do you feel like you got some quality work in? Or was it just, hey, hanging out and get to know guys?
Yeah, to be honest, Darnell Mooney, he called that up. You know, I definitely knew I wanted to get with the guys. But Mooney, he said it's on him this year. he took it this year, and he was like, hey, man, I know you're fresh to it. You know, this is your first year starting. You know, I want to – He wanted to take over this year, you know, bringing the guys out, you know, to Cali and working together. So, but that's just the leader that he is as well, you know. But next year, it'll definitely be on me. So,
what's up, Darnell?
Darnell Mooney, baby. Hey, what's the relationship like with Zach Robinson, especially now that you are going to be the man from the jump as opposed to taking it in midseason last year? Anything different with the playbook, or is he working to your strengths?
My relationship with him is great. You know, he trusts me, I trust him, and he's gonna call whatever's on that playbook, because he knows as long as we're on the same page, you know, whenever we get out there, you know, we're gonna go out there and make it work. You know, every call not gonna be great, every play by me not gonna be great, but at the end of the day, we gotta lean on each other, you know, in those hard times and even in those good times, you know, and always trust each other, and you know, always come to understand when it comes game day, and we locked in and we're gonna do whatever it takes to win football games.
Michael Penix joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Mike, there was a play last year Mike and I talked about where you went to Drake, y'all missed it, and you went right back to it, and you hit it for a touchdown. And I bring this up only to say, how much confidence do you instill not only in Drake, but also maybe Kyle Pitts, and say, hey, I'm coming to you. Dog, I'm getting you to rock. Like, does that help? And is that you? Do you do those things for those guys, or is it just a situation that happens and plays out throughout the course of a game?
Man, it's what we do, not on Sundays, but, you know, throughout the week, each and every day, you know, gaining that confidence, gaining that that trust with those guys, and allowing them to understand, like, hey, man, we nobody perfect. You know, we strive to be perfect, but nobody's perfect. Everybody's not going to make every single play, you know, but as long as we continue to play the next play, you know, the ball will find you, and I'm always going to find an open guy. So they know that. They'll get the ball.
You remember that play?
I do.
We do, because that's the thing. Michael Penix Jr., our quarterback, joins us on Dukes and Bell. When we talk to people around the country about the Falcons and they ask us about you, I say that Sunday night game against the Commanders, that was like a big moment. It's like a playoff type atmosphere, and you made one of those great throws to Kyle Pitts for a touchdown. Did you go back and look at all your film from last year?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you think?
Oh, I mean, it was a lot of things to work off of. You know, obviously, you know, it was tough connecting, you know, early on. You know, but you know, as we continue to get better each and every day, you know, just spending all that time, you know, outside of the game field and even off the field as well. You know, just building that relationship with those guys. You know, that connection to continue to build, and I've been seeing it build all season. I can't wait to see what we do this year.
SEC Media Days just happened. Kalen DeBoer was in town, and he said, hey, you came to the crib. Y'all kicked it. You have a great relationship with him. What is he telling you as you now made your way into the professional ranks and helping you as long as he's known you? Probably he says he's known you better, you know, as far as an offensive coordinator and being around you than anybody else.
Yeah, man, he just told me to be myself. You know, he said that's all I got to do, be myself. He told me to just trust my abilities and, you know, just go out there and have fun. You know, that's the biggest thing he always say, just have fun, you know, and be you. And that's the main thing that he always told me.
Speaking of having fun, man, people loving the vibe, the working class hero, man, being at Costco, when you get the word, you're going to be the starter. What else did you do this summer, man? What was your off season?
This summer, I didn't really do too much. I went back home to my city, in Dade City. You know, I had a kids camp there. You know, truly enjoyed that. You know, all the kids that came out and supported. And
had a street named after you, didn't you?
Got a street named after me. That was a blessing as well, too, you know. So those things, I got out to fish a little bit, been trying to golf, get my golf game better, but that's about it.
How's it?
You already catch.
Yeah, we're all fishing. Well, we try to fish.
What'd yeah, I caught. We just caught. We went trout fishing.
Okay.
Yeah, out there trout.
In the golf game, what's it look like?
It's getting there. I ain't going to talk too much about it, but it's getting there.
Well, now it's go time, so right. You shutting that down, right? You, yeah. You won't have time to do that.
Yeah.
Michael, what do you want to improve on, man? I mean, obviously, three-game sample space, but you know your game. You know what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into this season, you say, this is what I got to be better at. What is that?
just a connection with the guys. You know, obviously seeing last year, you know, seeing all the plays that was left out there, you know, it's not something that, you know, I'm used to seeing. You know, I like to at least give my guys a chance, and it was the times last year where I wasn't giving them a chance, you know. So just make sure I give those guys a chance, you know, just connecting with them, you know, day in and day out, make sure that our chemistry is where it needs to be.
Do we know what the workload's going to be like in preseason? Because I know last year we wanted to see more of you in preseason. Have you talked to Coach about that yet?
No talks about that yet.
What about Kirk Cousins, man? How's that really? I know you're talking about how he's had your back. Same vibe?
Yeah, same vibe, man. He's great. Great guy. You know, he's still a leader. You know, everybody looking at him as a leader, and he's always going to be that. You know.
You feel what's going on around here? I'm talking about Atlanta, like, with you and, like, how people feel and the excitement. Do you feel that?
I am a little bit, you know. I feel like once season come around, you'll see it and feel it even more, you know. But I definitely am feeling the love, you know. It's amazing, you know. I love the city, man. It's a great city. You know, I was glad I got drafted here. You know, I'm not too far from home, so be able to have family come up a lot. So it's been great.
And then finally, we talked a lot about the playoffs. We talked to AJ Terrell, Jesse Bates. You know, you're in your second year. A lot of these guys have not been in the playoffs. I mean, do you set goals like that, or just it is what it is?
No, we gotta win. we gotta get there, man. That's always the goal, man. Goal trying to win every one, you know. But we're gonna do whatever it takes to make sure that we do that.
Michael Penix, good luck. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Great stuff from Michael Penix today. Oozing confidence, as he should.
As well he should.
And he literally leaves us, walks into the media room, and not being prompted says, "Well, we got the ball to KP today, huh?" And immediately he's right. Talking about Kyle Pitts, and it's one of those things that is present.
Right.
And look, I'm fine with that, Mike. Look, for all the conversation we've had about Kyle and this offense, Ray McLeod's going to play his role. Drake's going to play his role. Bijan's going to play his role. We need him. He's the biggest piece of this pie, right. This graph that hasn't yet done what we expected to do. So if Michael wants to say, hey, we're going to get him the rock, so be it. I just want to see explosive plays and this offense scoring some points and us being really productive in the red zone. And if we do that,
right.
Then it's going to take a lot of pressure off the D, and all of a sudden, guys, we're going to be in for something special.
Look, he's a likable guy. Think about your first rookie season. All of a sudden, you know, you're drafted into a situation where the quarterback who is signed as a free agent for a pretty good size of change, you know, thinks, oh, it's his team. Now, all of a sudden, there's a soap opera. And then I still think that, and I'd love to talk to Rob. We'll ask him about this. In retrospect, did you not give him more reps? That's why I asked him at the end of the conversation with us, what is his load going to look like preseason-wise? Is he going to play in those first two games?
Yeah.
Go play two series? Is it important for him to get in that rhythm? Or do they sandbag it? Or don't forget, we do have a joint scrimmage this year. We have a joint practice coming up this season.
We do.
Right? Is that with Detroit? Who's that with?
No, Day-Day? It's the Titans, isn't it?
It might be Tennessee. So sometimes your coaches will get what they need from those practices. If you're here in attendance, you'll see it. Sometimes we don't remember the Miami joint practice a couple years ago. We're like, oh, they saw what they wanted to see. I'm like, we did? Really?
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota, we saw what we wanted to see? Or was it Ritter? Either way.
Yeah, it was Ritter.
Yeah, it is frustrating because as a fan, you want to sort of see what he's got and where he's going. You always want to see your starting quarterback go down the field, boom, get a first down, boom, touchdown. Okay, he looks like he's ready to roll. I would think with only three games under his belt, he'd get some more usage in the preseason. You don't think so?
No, I'm not saying that. I again, what's the appropriate amount?
Don't want to get him hurt. That's obvious. But as I said to you earlier, hey, man, if they're not going to put him in there with the second team. He's going to be in there from Jake Matthews to Caleb McGarry.
He's going to be in with the first team. I just, right. Mike, that's a really good question. And maybe as we get further into camp, that appropriate amount will be determined, and Rob will share that maybe, because what we think, and when I say appropriate amount,
right,
is that three series, you go in or you say he's going to play two series. You get into the game and you go, you know what, he needs another one. And then you make sure he's out there for at least another. Like, that's fine. But I don't know what that number is. Right. Or if you're going to say, Dukes and Bell, what's the amount of plays? I don't know. What I do know is I do want to feel comfortable week one heading into the game against the Bucks, where you go, he got enough snaps in real time.
Right.
And we're good. I do not want to go into the Bucks game and he's played one series, Mike, and six plays, and you go, we're good to go.
Yeah, that's the thing that drove me crazy. Remember, Desmond Ritter only played one series that year. That one, you know, that's Arthur Smith. That's a different coaching regime.
Now, Cousins didn't play, right? If I remember correctly,
no,
he did not play.
We kind of knew that was going to be the case on that one. Again, guys, Troy Anderson starting camp on the PUP list. So he's not able to do the work. Everybody else was out there. I think we talked about it. I want to mention this again. I don't know if I mentioned it last segment at the start of the show. Billy Bowman I like his game, man.
He's nice.
We talked to a bunch of folks from Oklahoma at SEC Media Days. He's kind of – I don't want to, you know, make that ridiculous sports talk pronouncement, but he's kind of like a poor man's honey badger. He wants contact, and he's a ball hawk. You know what I mean? It's kind of cool.
Yeah, he is going to be fine. There is some secondary battles. We'll be talking about this tomorrow a little bit on the show because Rob was addressing it today. That I think are going to play out pretty interesting here over the next 5 weeks or so. And one of those battles is for that nickel spot, Mike.
Right.
And Bowman's a guy, along with Clark Phillips. There are other guys. DeMarco Helms is back. Some of these guys we hadn't talked about. Helms is a full go for camp. So I'm with you. Like, if he's a playmaker like what they drafted him out of Oklahoma and what we saw on tape, he's going to be a problem.
Hey, one last nugget. We were talking about the money, always the dollars. Drake London, we were part of that scrum when I think D-Led asked the question about the contract. What about your contract, Drake? Garrett Wilson just got paid. And he said that I'm not worried about money. Garrett Wilson got that four-year, $130 million extension.
Yeah. Well, look, I think Drake has the right attitude. He answered all the questions today and talked about how ready he is and just happy to be back and ready to do something special. Look, at some point, these guys want to break through. Mm. And Drake's been one of those guys. Now, you're talking about, what, year four, Mike? Here we go, another guy.
Right.
Where you're like, okay, what's the situation?
Very easily could have had a 1,000-yard season every year, but, you know, those first 2 years kind of tough with Mariota and Ritter.
All right, man, we got more to get to here on the show. We've been live today at Hooters Mall of Georgia location. It's been such a fun day, and we're going to be back at this location a couple of days next week, Tuesday and Thursday. Tomorrow, we're back in the studio. Tomorrow's an off day, and I know it's weird. First day of practice, and then they're off. The new CBA dictates days they can work out. First day of pads, by the way, will be Tuesday, so we'll be up there for that.
Pads will be popping.
Yeah. All right, we're coming back. We're live at Hooters, man. It's Dukes and Bell. Yeah, Mike just showed me a picture of one of our friends with Hulk Hogan. Mike, when I first got into the business, Hogan came by. I have a picture. I'll maybe post it later, but he still had his real hair.
Right. What do you mean, my real hair, brother?
His real hair. And he had the bandana on. Obviously, the bandana he's always had.
Right.
But this is the problem, and you know this. We lost Hulk Hogan today, passed away at age 71. When you meet these figures and they're at their height, and we've been lucky enough, I've been lucky enough to meet a lot of these guys. When you meet them in the settings in which we meet them in, and whether they're promoting something, Mike,
right.
Whether it's a movie or whatever, and you know we were talking about Jamie Foxx earlier, and Jamie Foxx did a movie called Booty Call years ago, and he came in to promote this movie. Nobody knew who he was, and it was like, oh, who is this guy? And he was like, hey, what is there to do around here? And I ended up hanging out with him like 2 days because he was in town. He was just promoting the movie and doing stuff and had a comedy show. Little did we know, obviously, he'd go on to be who he was. And Hogan, similar deal. He came by the radio station that I worked at. I was doing mornings at the time. He takes a couple pictures with everybody, invites everybody to the show. You know, wrestling was in town.
Right.
And he was like, I'm going to be here a couple of days, and I need some good food and all this stuff. So we ended up, like, hanging out because these are the people where, you know, you go to promote your stuff, and they know everything that's going on in town. So anyways, I just saw that picture of our buddy, and it made me think about one on my wall. I got one on my wall in my basement, and people always ask me, when was that taken? Because
right.
You see Hogan, and you see, like, and I'm like, I look like I'm 19.
Well, that's, you know? We had talked about, you know, Hulk Hogan, you know, he basically wrestled regionally when that's what it was, as Vince McMahon started to consolidate nationally. And he was, you know, it's funny, in that bio, upset that, you know, he took that gig in the Rocky movie playing Thunderlips, the ultimate man versus the ultimate meatball, which was just so funny. And then after that, he does AWA wrestling. Vern Gagne, et cetera, and then he comes back to WWE, and then, of course, the way Bischoff created the New World Order, and our good friend, again, if you hadn't read his book yet, by the way, Mark Raimondi from ESPN, ESPN.com, talks about how that kind of wrestling in that era kind of really turned the anti-hero into the thing, which is everything now in movies and everything else. But, yeah, Hogan was, I mean, just a good dude, and we've got friends down in Florida that own restaurants in Tampa Bay area, and they talk about him taking pictures with everybody. The whole wait staff would come out, hey, brother, let me get you in this picture, brother. You know, he's just that kind of guy. Yeah, but it's funny. Hey, shout out to Joe, by the way. Joe over here, putting those wings away. He used to work with us at what was the forerunner of Comcast. It was Media One in the old days, Carl, the mighty 790. And I appreciate him stopping by. He showed Carl and me a video. It was the old intro for Mayhem in the PM with Steak and I and Bo back in the day. And he was actually the voiceover on that. And we were just, because we mentioned Jamie Foxx, we were talking about, you get sometimes celebrities, you know, Jamie Foxx, of course, you know, big time star, bit and everything. But there was a time when he was at a low point, and it was right before the Ray movie was even being made. And he came into town. We had him in studio in Duluth, with then it was Media One with Comcast, and he was just promoting a comedy tour, you know. And we hung out. We talked about any given Sunday, and, you know, it was a real blast. And then, of course, that's sort of the bottom of the roller coaster. Then he goes back up to the top. But it was, you know, super accessible, super friendly. And, you know, years later, we met him down at Heat Hawks game in Miami, remembered the conversation, came over, said hi, really good guy.
Yeah.
Which is, it's cool when you meet celebrities and they don't disappoint.
Correct. And here's the thing about Jamie, and I won't say this about every comedian. We're just talking about losing Hulk Hogan and how you have these interactions with people. The first thing you always wonder is he really like that? Like, what is the real, because sometimes, like, the microphone's not on and you get a sense of that. First time I met Kevin Hart, he's about to come on the show. He's not saying anything. He's not talking. And his people were like, okay, you ready for Kevin? I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. Is Kevin ready? And they're like, Kevin's coming on, Kevin. And literally, it's like, we're on, and boom.
Throws the switch.
Funniest dude in the room. Like, immediately, like, I can't believe y'all got me on here. And he just started. And it was like, okay. And, you know, you don't know what's going on, whether you had taken a phone call. But, like, some guys are not funny naturally. Jamie was funny every time.
Right.
Like, you could just bring up something. He'd do a voice. He'd start singing. He just... Those guys are unique. There are some guys you meet, and Hogan was another guy. He came in, and it was the authentic character, the character that he built was who you got, right? And that was the cool thing. It wasn't like, okay, mics are off, and he went out of character like, whew, glad that's over. I didn't know if I could stay doing that the entire time.
But there are some comedians that are just so, I mean, you've seen it. We've dealt with it. It's like, oof, man.
They're
it's
not
like
funny.
Jekyll and Hyde. And it's
they're not on stage, and they're not performing
their act. Right.
It's different than just coming into this room and going, all right, everybody, and boom. And everybody's laughing. That's a different kind of dude.
Hey, man, got a couple of hits on the text line. Jeremy asked, hey, Mike and Carl, heard you talking about Kyle Pitts today. Seems like him and Penix Jr. are on the same page, or at least Penix is pumping him up. He goes, should I draft Kyle Pitts for my fantasy team this year?
That's a gamble. It's a gamble. Here's the thing. You will regret it if he does get the ball as much as Penix is feeling like it. Like, look, we don't know. We're projecting here. If it feels like he's going to get the ball as much, you will regret it. If he doesn't and he has another 600-yard season with 4 touchdowns last year, is that right?
4.
Then you're going to be like, man, I shouldn't have drafted him. It's a risk-reward situation. This is the ultimate golf shot right now. Kyle Pitts, if you want it, go ahead and take it.
If you missed it, we played it earlier, the soundbite, and we played the quote. Michael Penix Jr. says, talking about his relationship with the receivers and how he felt about last year. He goes, I like to at least give my guys a chance, and there were times last year where I wasn't giving them a chance. Man, that's pretty harsh criticism for just 3 games. When you had no defense, and, you know, if we're honest, you know, Pitts was kind of at that point negligible in the game plan, the one touchdown against the Commanders, the interception against the Giants. I thought that Michael Penix Jr. did a hell of a job under the circumstances because, remember, they had to pivot midseason, change horses midstream, all the work with Cousins, all the prep. Now the game plan is Penix Jr.
Yeah.
You know, and was that's why I asked him how much the playbook has increased, and he feels that Zach and him are on the same page. Yeah, I mean, look, on paper, all these weapons should be unbeatable, right? I mean, yes, a defense has something to say about that. Your cover 2 or your cover 3 and how athletic your defenders are have something to say about that. But when you've got Kyle Pitts and Drake London, and by the way, a lot of guys that were at practice today on the text line asking is there anything on Darnell Mooney? Haven't seen anything about an injury. He did go way high. Major elevation contact. Was it Alford? I don't remember who the DB was, but he came down hard.
No, it was Mike. You know who it was? It was number 38.
Nathan Carter?
Lamar Jackson.
The other Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
In Nebraska.
Yes, corner.
Yeah.
Corner.
So he comes down, but he was elevated. So it was like a. I'm not saying I don't want. Yes, Carl, Dr. Marcus Welby, MD. I want to say it's ribs. No, but he did extend, and he came down pretty hard right in front of Day-Day and you and I. But there's nothing from the Falcons about an injury. Only guy we haven't seen is Troy Anderson. A lot of guys hit
him. Disappointment. It's a disappointment.
Text line saying, look, the call. What my guy says, Mike, you're right. He's a bust. We got it from your buddy, UGA Matt, saying so frustrating. You know, does this see it? He goes, his nickname might as well be Pup.
Yeah, I just think when you tease us with a pick six – and, you know, you lead the team in tackles. One week you have 15
super
tackles.
Athletic. He's fast. He's sideline to sideline. He's what you want from that, you know, the modern, not the Ray Lewis 240-pound middle linebacker, but this modern middle linebacker.
Yeah, and look, Ray could run, but I'm with you. I just feel like with all the coverages stuff that you have now with these linebackers, you got to be able to do that. And he teases us, and then he's not ready. Again, I don't know what the reason is. We can only speculate about what happened with the rehab. But, Mike, it feels like it was a long time ago when he got hurt.
Yeah, and, guys, second-round picks are big. That was one of the things we were talking with our old producer-engineer Jarvis Davis today about. Remember, they think that Rook Orororo is one of the top 35 players in the league. And this is a year that I know you've been higher on him. You know, he's got to stay healthy, and he's got to be impactful. But if he is, if he's healthy, and Zach Harrison we talked about, all of a sudden that interior of the line looks great. The thing is, just like I harp on the Nick Benito thing with Troy Anderson, you could have had Braden Fisk. Look at what Braden Fisk is doing with the Rams.
He's
with
a
Burst.
Monster.
That's why Rook's really got to break it out this year, breakout season.
Hey, also today, update on Justin Fields. The day started. It's literally practice starts. We're sitting there watching him. And then we get word that Justin Fields was carted off. That was the original word. Now we know he got into a cart, and after a medical evaluation, the Jets realized that he had sustained a dislocated toe on his right foot. He's listed as day-to-day, but I got to tell you, like 9:30 this morning, it was like Fields might be out for the season. That was the interpretation. The good news is that's not going to happen. He avoids a serious injury. Lineman stepped on his foot. And so that's what caused this, apparently. He's not going to miss any significant time.
Apparently Mike Greenberg is day-to-day as well at ESPN because apparently he nearly had a heart attack when he heard the initial reports were lower body injury, carted off. Because carted off, you know, there's ways of getting carted off. There's like, you know, Nordberg in the Naked Gun getting carted off.
That's
and then
right.
There's simply, he might have been on the opposite corner of the practice field. They put him in a golf cart to not put any weight on his foot.
But here's the thing, and the reason why we bring this up before we get out of here, Chris has got the night show. Stay tuned for that.
Does Chris owe Jerome money?
He does.
We'll cover this next week.
He does. He does. Oh, look, and you know when Jerome owed me money, I was saying, where's my money? He finally paid up. Chris Turtle, you got to pay Jerome, man.
Apparently the juice is running. Apparently it's 5% a week. So I know what that is on $25.
But he's got the night show. We're back here on Tuesday, all right? Next Tuesday and Thursday, we're back here at Hooters. So if you missed us today, come through next week. If you're one of our regulars, we want to see you guys as much as we're out here. We love having you guys out here. But I only bring that up to talk about the Fields thing to say, every quarterback injury that happens this season, immediately people are thinking the Falcons are going to be involved in some kind of transaction.
Right.
With Kirk Cousins. And that's kind of what happened today.
This was not that injury.
No, but it was like immediately when you heard, it was like, Falcons going to call. They're going to call us. We got to relax on that. I mean, I don't want to wish injury on anybody, but like every time a quarterback gets hurt this year, Mike, that's immediately what people are going to jump to and say, oh, the Falcons have to be involved in this. All right, man. We got to get out of here. Big O back at the studio, man. Let's clear our throat. By the way, all the interviews online at Odyssey.com. Subscribe to Dukes and Bell. You don't miss any of our show, any of our segments, any of our content. And that will pop up on your phone so you don't miss out, guys. Hey, tomorrow we're back in the studio. It's a Friday, big Friday show for you. A couple of our regular guests will join us as well. We're talking plenty of NFL. Camp is underway. Things going on all around the NFL. We'll get you caught up on all of that stuff. Tomorrow, also, B-Mac's going to stop by to chop it up with us from CBS. He is a NFL analyst. Big shout out to the wait staff here. Mike Bell, I don't know who turned the power on, but thank you.
Hey, thanks to Georgia Power. I don't know if some old lady smashed into a transformer, but one side of the street was out. The mall was okay, but they did get the juice back on. And thanks to Mike Conti, our boss. You know, it's kind of like command decision. Do we head back to Flowery Branch and broadcast from the Ticketmaster Studios? Conti says, no, we'll ride this out, and we will broadcast from Hooters. And we worked off the generator for a minute. So how about the boss making that command decision? So we had a much better scenery, with all due respect to the Ticketmaster studio, better viewing points right here at Hooters.
No doubt. And thank you guys for coming out. If you came out today to hang out with us, appreciate you guys. And again, we're back here on Tuesday.
And by the way, at this point, see the guy at the end of the bar on the visor?
Which one?
The guy that they said that he looks like my dad. But no, I mean, you realize that, like, at this point,
yeah, I see him.
He comes up and goes, man, you took me. We were at some bar, and you and I, we took a cab to Cheetah. I think at this point, after 28 years, I've bought everyone in Atlanta a drink. I'm starting to feel this way.
You don't remember that night?
Apparently, he said it was a great night. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Wednesday tomorrow.
I don't remember.
Hey, Day-Day, great job. Slim, our on-site engineer, Gordon, good to see you out here as well. Appreciate you guys. We're back at you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, what a hell of a season. Well, not a season. Sorry, let me start again. What a hell of a career for Jesse Chavez.
Mm.
Nothing this year for the Braves went well. 18 years, six of them with the Braves. He was gone, he was back, he was gone, he was back, he was gone. But I tell you what, it's one thing to be a left-hander. You can stay in the show for like 50 years as a lefty. But as a right-hander, at the end of his career, never getting over like 91 miles an hour, it's kind of amazing how he used that mixture of speed and location and guile to stick around. Anyway, beloved by his teammates, a big part of some championship runs for the Braves. Hats off to Jesse Chavez, who announced after 18 years, he's packing it in.
Bill Belichick spoke to the media today. Oh, you mean the new North Carolina head coach? Yeah, that Bill Belichick. Mike, he told his players, it came out that he said to them, my personal life is not going to be a distraction.
My personal life will not be a distraction.
When and what world are we in when Bill Belichick is talking about his personal life being
a
distraction?
Neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
Things have changed. It's absolutely insane. Hey, man, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't.
Your daughter just brought home Marion Campbell as her boyfriend.